It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I'm glad for every new morning there's new mercy. Amen. Anybody woke up this morning needing some mercy? Ain't it amazing how we was in church all spiritual yesterday, and by the time sun come up, we needed some mercy this morning. And lived all day in and around this world, and I'm thankful that God's got mercy. Amen. I love the Lord tonight, and I love being able to serve Him. It's a humbling thing to have your life and your livelihood surrounding the Word of God. And I'm absolutely tonight been blessed to the point of embarrassment. God's been good to me. And we ought to realize this evening that He don't need us. Well, that was a mighty weak witness. Some of y'all might think He does need you. Well, I'm going to bust your bubble. He don't need us. Old black fellow was in my church for years, Brother Jesse. He looked at me one day and said, "Rev," he said, "the graveyard's full of people that thought the world couldn't go on without them." And I promise you, the Lord don't need us tonight. But oh my, how we need Him. And we know that and we realize that. If you have your Bible, stand up with me and go to the book of Genesis and find chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. And with the Lord's help tonight, we'll be reading and coming out of this portion of Scripture. I want to say thank you to Brother Ken for allowing me and my wife to be here this week and be a part of this meeting. And you always are so kind to us, and we appreciate that. I'll just be honest with you, it may be a bad thing almost, but I feel at home here tonight. And sometimes I act ways at home ought not act. Y'all say amen. Some places I go, I walk the line. Y'all know what I'm talking about? But I sometimes when you're at home, you just carry on. Amen. And I don't want to do anything dishonoring to the Lord, but I do appreciate the spirit here at this church. Amen. I love Brother C.T. and his wife. C.T.'s my friend. We get to be in meetings together, and I always appreciate it. And I love them tonight as well. Are you in Genesis chapter 8? If you are, say amen. Amen. I love this scripture. We'll read one verse tonight, and I'll go where the Lord will have us. Chapter 8, verse number 1. If you're looking for somewhere to shout, you're just about to be there. "And God remembered Noah." If you're waiting on something, you just missed it. "And God remembered Noah." That felt pretty good. I may just... That Bible preaching pretty good by itself. "God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged." Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight for Your goodness and Your grace. God, I humbly tonight come before You and thank You for the privilege of having a Bible in my hand. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Ghost that lives inside of my heart. God, I pray now that You'd speak through us and speak to us. God, say what You once said. Lord, stir us tonight in a heavenly way. May we be more like You tomorrow because of what we've heard today. I love You and I thank You. I will give You every praise and every glory that comes from it. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We find in chapter 8 and verse number 1 that Noah is in the will of God. Now, I need a little help right there. Noah is directly in the will of God. God saw the wickedness of man. God saw the sinful condition of the world. Thank God, I don't want to get off track too much, but there were two men before the flood that walked with God. One of them was a fellow by the name of Enoch. And Enoch was a type of the Gentile. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. And before God poured out tribulation, God carried Enoch up out of this world. I got news for you. If He can take Enoch up and out, He can take us up and out. There was another man that walked with God by the name of Noah. And Noah is a picture of Israel. God did not take Noah out of the tribulation, but God carried Noah through the tribulation. That's real good doctrinal preaching. I'm glad the church is going out, and I'm glad Israel's going through. That's real good doctrine, but that's also good living, because that tells me that in the trouble of life, whether I go out of it or whether I go through it, honey, God's in control. Noah is in the will of God. Noah is right where God wanted him. He spends decade after decade building the ark to God's specification. He's got a Bible in one hand and he's got a trowel in the other. He's a preaching and he's a working. And I want to say something tonight. Thank God for working folk who know how to serve the Lord. Yeah, man goes right there. Thank God for folk who can go about the daily grind and not lose the daily gospel. Amen. Noah is right in the middle of the will of God. But now the rain begins to fall. He gets on the ark with his family. They are settled into that secure and that safe place. And the world outside is dying. God is wiping out all mankind as Noah sits on the inside of that ark. Now there's something that begins to take place. And this is what I want to talk to you about tonight. Is now, and I hope I can get this across clearly, is now the building is over with. The excitement of the building has come and gone. Matter of fact, the thunder of Noah's preaching has settled down to common conversation with his family. Everything that he said was going to happen, it has now happened. And he is sitting, are you with me tonight? He is sitting in the middle of the will of God, and sometimes the will of God is not as exciting as we thought it was going to be. Now, I'm sorry if I'm raining on your parade tonight. I'm going to use a real big word right here. Sometimes the will of God is anticlimactic. You know what that means? It means it builds and it builds and it builds, and then you get there and you say, is this all there is to it? God called me and Miss Amy to go to Columbus, Georgia and start a church. I drove around the country for 6 months weeping and praying and preaching and talking about how God was going to start a church. We drove over there and wept and prayed and believed God. Spent months begging for the power and the presence of God. And we got in there in that living room and started, and there was 3 of us on the first Sunday. Right smack dab in the middle of the will of God. But sometimes it's going to hurt some of y'all. It's going to help some of you. Sometimes the will of God don't look much like the will of God. Now, all the real spiritual people, they done checked out tonight. But there's some folk in here that's living in the will of God. And you're looking around and you're not seeing what you thought you was going to see. And you're not feeling what you thought you was going to feel. And you're not sensing what you think. You know, there's some folk, they want to serve God as long as they got goosebumps big enough for a hog to bite. But the first time the thrill is over and the first time the glory is gone, they get ready to jump off the boat. I'm here to tell you, honey, if God puts you on the ark, you stay on the ark until God says get off the ark. Here's my title tonight. Floating by faith. Anybody ever feel like you're just floating through life? I mean, not making no big waves, just kind of floating through life. knowing that you're in God's will, knowing that you're where God put you, but still just floating by faith through the river of life. That's where Noah was. Boy, don't you know that there was an enthusiasm in his soul all of those years building that ark? There was a glory in his soul all of those decades building that ark. But now as the door is sealed, he is floating by faith. We started out tonight with a little glory in that scripture that God remembered Noah. And I want to say something to you. I don't believe that verse would be in there unless Noah felt like maybe God hadn't remembered Noah. I mean, I just don't think stuff's in there by accident. I believe, Brother Ken, the reason God put that in there is because Noah felt like maybe God had forgotten him. Well, don't look at me so spiritual, bless God. The disciples was on the boat with him, and somebody said, "Hey, I know he's the master of the sea. I know he's the God of all glory, but somebody better wake him up because things ain't looking good and he ain't worried." I'm just going to be honest with you. There's been times when I've been in the middle of God's will and felt like God had forgotten where I was. Anybody else going to be real tonight? I believe Noah felt like God had forgotten him. And so the Lord spoke up in verse number 1 and said, just in case y'all's wondering, God remembered Noah. Now, I ain't even to where I'm heading tonight, but I'm having a good time getting there. Let me say something to you. That word remembered in this text, it does not mean that God's memory was jarred. Sometimes we read that and we think that maybe an angel tiptoed up and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Now, Lord, we know you got a lot going on, what with flooding the whole earth and all, and we realize that you kind of got your hands full wiping out all mankind and every living thing, but we've been talking and we're not trying to tell you what to do, but Lord, there's a feller on a boat down there." God didn't step back and say, "I can't believe it. I better go check on Noah." God didn't forget Noah. Matter of fact, I know preacher said not to run, but I'll be real careful if I do. Matter of fact, that word doesn't mean that he forgot and was reminded. That word means that he was mindful of Noah. You know what that means? It means he wasn't reminded. He already remembered. God hadn't forgot you. God knows where you are. He put you there, and he's not going to leave you nor forsake you. Look at me now. Right in the middle of the will of God and just floating by faith. I want to show you a couple things tonight if the Holy Ghost will let me and help me. I want to show you that while you're floating by faith, first of all, there is a wind that carried him. You know what the wind is a picture of in your Bible, don't you? Some of y'all know him, a whole lot of Baptists don't. The wind is a type of the Holy Ghost of God. Book of Acts, the Holy Ghost came with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The wind is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Now look at me. When God gave the instructions for the ark, God didn't put no sail on the ark. I better get up here. God didn't put no sail on the ark. He didn't say, "Noah, raise your sail and catch a breeze and chart your path." God didn't put no sail on the ark. Matter of fact, I read it right for church, make sure I had it right. God didn't put no steering wheel on the ark neither. What no steering wheel on the ark? What no 225 Black Max Mercury sitting on the back of Noah's ark? You know, glory, I'm having a time tonight. You know who is in charge of putting the ark where the ark was supposed to be. I'll give you a clue. It was the Holy Ghost of God that was moving Noah right where God wanted Noah. Can we be honest tonight? If you're Noah sitting up here in that ark, God done flooded the whole planet. Wasn't one speck of dirt sticking out of the ground. If you used to look over the sides of that ark, it was all water, every which way you looked. I don't know, I can't figure it out. But John Phillips said he is on that ark 365 days. Said he was on there a year before God let him off. I ain't figured that out yet. That's what John Phillips said. But I'm here to say this. If I'd been on that ark for a year, I'd be ready to get off. Let me help you right here. Hey girls, how'd you like to get on a boat with your mother-in-law and stay 365 days? Them animals wasn't the only thing stinking on that ark. Amen. Y'all don't look at me like that. You go on a 5-day family vacation and need therapy and counseling and 2 weeks to get over it. Don't look at me like that. We're having a good time. Now shut your little mouth and enjoy it while you can. Y'all don't look at me like that. Been on that ark a year. Oh, Noah, look out. Water every which direction. If I'd been Noah, I'd said, now, Lord, I'm not trying to tell you business, but looks like it's all the same. So just anywhere you want to drop us off, we're ready if you're ready for us. Everywhere you look is the same. Brother C.T. and I was down in Pascagoula, Mississippi, preaching a meeting just back in January. I never have been deep sea fishing. They tell me you can drown in 2 tablespoons of water. I really didn't want to take my chances with the whole ocean. Amen. Telling the church, Brother Gilbert said, I want to take you boys fishing in the morning. We got up, went out there and got on that big boat and got out there in that gulf, and I don't know if it qualifies for deep sea or not, but we was 21 miles offshore. I couldn't see any land that's deep enough, amen. I couldn't see no land that way. I couldn't see no land. I mean, all the way around, I couldn't see any land. We got out there fishing, and he pulled us up to this spot. Got the rods out, and we threw them in. And I noticed Brother Ken, about every 10 minutes, he'd fire that boat up, and he'd move us and shut it off. We'd fish 30 minutes, and he'd move that boat again. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I ain't no spoon neither, amen. My daddy said, just hush, and people will think you're dumb. Open your mouth, and they'll know you're dumb. And so I really didn't want to show my ignorance, but finally I couldn't take it no more. I said, Brother Gilbert, I said, I got to ask you something. All this is ocean out here. And I ain't trying to tell you what to do, but why is it that you keep moving us every 20 minutes? We ain't drifting out of the ocean, in case you didn't notice. I mean, even Skipper had a first mate, amen? He looked at me and here's what he said. Here's what he said. Hallelujah. He said, Brother Jonathan, he said, to you, this all looks like water. He said, all looks the same to you, don't it? I said, yes, sir. He said, but I got one of these sonar GPS depth finders. I'm fixed to say something right here. And he said, I can see stuff under the water that you can't see. And he said,
while it all looks like waves to you, he said, I can see stuff under the water, and there's a wreck of a ship right there, and I'm keeping us over that spot. I couldn't see that wreck on top of the water. It all looked the same to me. But the captain of the boat, could see what was happening under the water, and he knew where we needed to be. Yeah. Noah's sitting on the ark. I looked this up. 17 million square miles on planet Earth. 17 million square miles of water. And old Noah floating around on 17 million square miles. And it all looked like water to Noah. But the Holy Ghost, the God, said there ain't but one place this ark needs to land. There's a little hill called Mount Ararat. And it's the highest point. And it's 16,000 feet above sea level. And of 17 million miles, God wanted Noah on top of Mount Ararat. And ladies and gentlemen, when Noah couldn't drive the boat, when Noah couldn't steer the ship, God carried him to the right place. I want you to listen to me for just a second. You better leave your life in God's hands. Boy, I need some help right there. You better leave your life in God's hands. Some single folk in here praying for a husband or a wife. You listen to me. You better wait on God to bring you somebody. Don't you run out and get you one. You better let God bring you one. You say, why? Because love is grand and divorce is 30 grand. Amen. You better wait on God. Some teenage boy, some teenage girl in here tonight, and you've got your life in front of you, and you say, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll go here, I'll go there. Listen to me, child. You better stay where God put you. You better not drive your boat. You better let God carry you where He wants you. I'm going to go a step further. You better not just up and go off and work anywhere you want to go work. You better let God give you the right job. There liable be one crackhead at that job site that'll ruin your life, that'll wreck your world, that'll destroy your family. You better go where God wants you to go. You say, I'll do what I want to. It all looks the same to me. That's the problem is. That's why you ain't supposed to be in charge of where you're going. Because God can see stuff under the water that you and I can't see. And He's a leading us to that one perfect place, to that one perfect spot. And though we don't know where it is, I'm glad there's a wind from another world that's a leading us right to where we ought to be. I'm trying to tell you tonight that while you're floating by faith, God, through the Holy Ghost, is carrying your life into the exact right spot. 17 million square miles. And God set him right on top of Mount Ararat. You better let God direct your path. There was a wind that carried him. But while we're floating by faith, watch this. There was a word that consumed him. Now I want you to listen to me. Where's my Bible? You know you're having a good time when you can't even find your Bible. Noah was in the will of God. I need a witness right there. But just because he was in the will of God did not mean that he quit looking for a word from God. Look in verse number 6, chapter 8. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the, say it with me out loud, the window of the ark. Won't you look at me right here? There was, hallelujah. There was one door on the ark. Well, I'm going to try that over here. There was one door on the ark. There was only one way in. And God Himself put them in and closed the door. Jesus said, I am the door. There's only one way of salvation. That door on that ark was a type of salvation. It was a type of Jesus. It was a type of being born again. But there was also only one window on that ark. Listen to me now. God was in charge of that door. Y'all help me now. Noah didn't open and close that door. God was in charge of that door. I want you to look at me. Noah was in charge of that window. That door was a type of salvation. But that window was a type of our prayer life once we are saved. God didn't open and close that window. It was Brother Noah that opened and closed that window. Well, don't die on me now. Once you're saved, God won't make you pray. He'll make you want to pray, but He won't make you pray. Noah was in charge of that window, and his communication with God was up to him whether he opened it or not. Noah's sitting in the will of God. And you know what he does as soon as the rain stops? He opens that window, he sends out a raven. That was a type of the old nature. That raven immediately went back to whence it came, and it flew and flew and flew, trying to pursue its wild nature. Then he opens that window. Woo! And he releases a dove through that window. Y'all do know what the dove is a symbol of, don't you? Jesus being baptized had the Spirit of God like a dove descended down upon him. That dove is a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. I want you to listen to me now. I'm about to say something to somebody. Noah's in the will of God. Can I get a witness? He is right where God put him. But even in God's will, he opens the window of prayer and he begins to communicate with the Holy Ghost of God. Listen to me. Just because we're in God's will don't mean we need to sit idle and content. Somebody tonight's in God's will, but you better open the window of prayer and look for a word from God, because things might be changing, but you're going to have to be seeking Him to find out what's going on. Sends out that dove. I ain't going to preach that three times. Sends out that dove. And finally, he gets another word from another world. And that dove, it goes and it don't ever come back. And Noah knows now that it's time to get off the ark. And I want to say this, while you're floating in the will of God, you better stay on your knees in prayer. Now the dove doesn't return. Noah knows it's time to get off the ark. And he does. And I want you to notice the first thing that happens in verse number 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Look at me right here. The third thing that happened while Noah was floating by faith was there was a worship that called to him while he was on that ark. Let's do a little Sunday school lesson. Did the Lord tell him take two animals of every kind on that ark? He said take two of every kind. But he said, of them clean animals, take seven. Because they were good for sacrifice. They were good for offering. They were good for worship. Now I want you to listen. We're talking about sitting in the will of God and sitting while nothing is happening. Sitting while it's not what we thought it would be. There's two animals of every kind on that ark, but there's seven of them clean animals. I can just imagine every time Brother Noah, hallelujah, I can just imagine every time Brother Noah heard one of them seven sheep say, "Baaah." I can just imagine Noah. Every time one of them clean heifers would say, "Marr." Every time one of those doves would coo and flutter their wings, something in the heart of Noah said, I can't do it right now. Said, I can't do it here, and I can't do it now, because we're in between right now. We're in between an old and a new thing. We're just floating by faith right now. Here's a little news flash. A boat made out of wood covered in pitch is not the place to strike up a burnt altar and a sacrifice. You know what God will do? Don't let me lose you now. You know what God will do? Oh, I hope I don't lose you right here. You know what God will do? He'll put you somewhere where you can't praise Him like you want to. He'll put you somewhere where you can't worship Him like you want to. That ark was not the place for an altar. That ark was not the place for a burnt sacrifice. Noah's sitting on that ark, and them sheep bad, and those cows mooing, and those doves cooing in the background, and he had worship in his heart, but he could not do it on the ark like he would when he got off of the ark. Well, let me just help you right here. I'm really messing with some of you spiritual folk tonight. I'm just really messing up your world. I got news for you. When they came to Job and said, you youngins are dead, Job didn't jump up and say, well, glory. When they came to Job and said, you've lost everything, Job didn't say, well, praise the Lord. Job sat there. And Job's heart broke. And Job couldn't worship God right then. Job was taking in the pain. He was taking in the hurt. And I know some of you don't believe me, but God will put you in a place where you cannot worship Him like you want to. Your soul be so down, your mind be so shot, your body be so racked with pain. You ever been to a meeting where everybody was up a hooping and a hollering and a shouting, but there was so much trouble down in your heart that you tried to get a hand up, but it felt like it weighed 200 pounds? Huh? You ever been in a meeting where folks was a weeping and a crying, but your old soul was so burdened that you couldn't even muster up a tear out of your heart? I'm not here to tell you you is backslidden. I'm here to tell you there's just some places where God puts us that we cannot worship Him like we want to. But I will say this, down in your soul, there will be a want to. Noah said, not now. Noah said, I can't do it right now. Them doves fluttering their wings. Noah said, not yet. But when that ark landed on Mount Ararat and Noah got off, he said, oh, you bad for the last time. And he built that altar and he began to worship. He began to start his new life, sending up a sweet smelling savor into the nostrils of God. But on the ark, he couldn't worship like he wanted to because he was in an in-between place. And there's some of you in here tonight that's in that in-between place. And God's got you right there smack dab in the middle. And I want to tell you something. If you're there, you may not be able to worship Him like you want to, but there's a want to down in your soul. And I want to say this, and I'm trying to hush, but I want to say this. There's a whole lot of us get off the ark and forget about all that praise we was going to give Him when we got off. Lord, if you'll just help me see dry land, I'll praise you. God, if you'll let me live through this storm, I'll give you glory. God, if you'll let me live, I'll give you praise. God, if you'll just keep us together, then we'll give you honor. But when God gets us to the other side, so many times we forget to give Him the praise we promised. While Noah was in that storm, there was worship brewing down in his heart. And when he got off of the ark, he gave it to the one who deserved it. Amen. And I'm done tonight, but here's my whole thought. There's some folks in here, and I hope you're listening to this little country preacher. There's some folks in here tonight. You are right in the middle of God's will, but it's not what you thought it was going to be. It's not exciting. It's not fun. You don't feel glory. And you're about ready to jump off overboard because it's not everything you thought it would be. And I come by to tell you tonight, stay on the ark until God lets you off. Because there's a Holy Ghost carrying you somewhere that you cannot see. And while you're there, keep the windows of heaven open where you can hear a word when it's time for a word. And friend, let's not forget to worship Him when we come through this storm and realize He's the one that put us in it, He's the one that carried us through it, and He's the one that's going to help us on the other side of it. I want you to stand up with me. Float.